Well, this week is that wonderful week of Christmas week, and I know you've got a lot of things going. Just a quick reminder that we will be having a Christmas Eve communion service. It'll be real brief, 45 minutes at the very longest. We're just going to come together, read the Christmas story. I'm going to share a couple thoughts with you about communion. We're going to partake of communion, and then you go enjoy the rest of your evening with your families. So just encourage you to come to that if you can make it. If not, we understand. It's not like we're going to come looking for you if you don't show up on Christmas Eve. As I was thinking about Christmas, and I was thinking about, you know, what to talk about this year, because, you know, the Christmas story is real limited. You know, we just have this limited message of Jesus being born, the manger, the stable, no room in the inn. You all know this story, you know, very, very well. And so when it comes to times like Christmas, it's like, okay, you know, God, what is there fresh for us? What do you want us to hear about today? And you know, how can we make this whole thing kind of be a little different than a normal, okay, let's talk about the birth of Jesus. So I want to take you today to Galatians, the fourth chapter, and I want to read the first four verses, or five verses to you. Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Now, Paul uses this real simple analogy to explain to us that this is what the law was. If you think about it, this is exactly what the law was. The law was for people for whom the Father had not said, it's time. Okay, you are now an adult. You are now able to understand. You're now able to be in control of things. And Paul here is using this real simple analogy that if you have a very rich young child that is born into a very rich family, okay, and the child's rich because he was born into the family, and that child, as he is growing up, virtually is no different than a child who has nothing. They go to school like everybody else does. They have rules like everybody else does. Their toys may be a little nicer, no question. But they are under guardians and stewards until the time that is set by the Father. And that's the important thing that I want you to just put a stake in the ground right there. The time set by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Those last two verses are two verses that I really want you to focus on today. And I want you to listen to those same verses from the Message Bible, which says this: But when the time arrived that was set by God the Father, God sent his Son, born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of the law, so that he might redeem those who have been kidnapped by the law. Thus we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. Same two verses from the New Century Bible. But when the right time came, God sent his Son, who was born of a woman and lived under the law. God did this so he could buy freedom for those who were under the law, and so we could become his children. One more version. The Holman Christian Bible. But when the completion of the time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. So here's what we're hearing today from those verses, regardless of which version we look at. Jesus arrived in the fullness of time at the time set by the Father, at the right time, when the time was completed. Now, Jesus had a clear understanding of why the Father sent him. And he made this, in Luke, the fourth chapter, there are some amazing things happening. And Jesus makes this comment, and I want you to notice. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 40. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying and saying, You are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. And look what happens next, verse 42. Now when it was day, He departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. So they wanted Jesus to stay with them forever. They never wanted him to go anywhere. Stay right here and teach us and feed us and continue to heal people. Verse 43, but he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. So you understand that Jesus came to preach the gospel. He came to preach the good news. And that's really what we're celebrating at Christmas. We're celebrating the arrival of good news. Okay, when we talk about the gospel, the word gospel literally means good news. And he came to preach the word of God, and he came to reach people that didn't know God. And I love the story of Zacchaeus. Look at Luke, the 19th chapter, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man, Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. And the next statement that Jesus makes sums up the entire reason for his coming. Look at verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's the message that we're hearing from Galatians, the fourth chapter. That's the message. Jesus arrived in the fullness of time, at the time set by the Father, at the right time when the time was completed. And what we're really seeing and what we're really celebrating this week is we're celebrating God simply saying, enough. I'm sending my son. That's it. I'm sending my son. This is the right time. I'm sending my son. And I love that concept of enough, that God has reached this point that he says, enough. Kind of the same way that God became angry with what was going on in Noah's day. And it grieved his heart that he had even made man. And he finally said, enough. That's it, enough. I am not going to put up with his bloodshed any longer. I'm not going to put up with his iniquity any longer. Enough, I'm bringing judgment. Basically, that's what happened. In Galatians 4:4. That's what happened at the first Christmas. But it wasn't God saying, enough, I'm bringing judgment. It was God saying, enough, I'm sending my son. Okay? So at Christmas time, God was saying, enough. And I've got several thoughts here to share with you. And the first one is this. At Christmas, God was saying, enough. Man had lived without fully understanding God's love, so God sent his son. Over the years, man had developed that wrong view of God, picturing God as being very angry, picturing God as not caring about mankind. And what an incorrect view. And Jesus came to correct that view. Do you realize how revolutionary John 3:16 was? When Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you realize how revolutionary that was? Do you realize how out of the box that was? People weren't talking about God's love. People were talking about God's judgment. And it was all about fear, and it was all about not being able to do anything right. And again, you remember the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law was to let you know your need for a Savior, okay? So the law didn't pat you on the back. The law slapped you upside the head and said, there's something wrong here. And there's something you need to do. And there's hope that you need to find. And so when Jesus came and his message was that God loves mankind, that God loves you. And our response is, well, how do we know that? And Romans 5:8 answers that for us. It says, for God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God showed his love openly, laid all his cards on the table. At Christmas, God was saying, enough. Man has lived in darkness long enough. And Jesus came, you know, to be the light of the world. Look at John 8, 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And Jesus was constantly calling people to come out of darkness and to come into light. Colossians, the first chapter, the 13th verse, tells us that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And Jesus is calling us and giving us light, okay? And one of the really cool things is that right now we talk about light in spiritual terms. But there will be a time when Jesus will be the literal light. I mean, look at Revelation 22, 5. There shall be no night there. They shall need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. God himself is that light. So at Christmas, God was saying, man's lived in darkness long enough. At Christmas, God was saying, it was impossible for man to fix himself. And that's really the bottom line. Regardless of how good you were or how diligent you were, I brought a little illustration today. Okay? And I want you to think in terms of a balloon. Okay? I want you to think in terms of a balloon today. So, you're going to make it to heaven, right? You're going to get there. So what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go to church. Very good. You know, you're diligent. You've gone to church since the time you were a kid. That's great. Okay? What else are you doing? Well, I give to the church. Good. That makes Pastor Ray very happy when you give to the church. And what else are you doing? Well, I'm not a criminal. I don't steal. Ooh, that's good. Yeah, I don't cheat on my wife. Good. Okay? And I read my Bible every day. Very good. Okay? Now you're doing really well here, right? Okay? So compared to everybody else, I am up there. Okay? That's you. You're up there, man. You've really got it together. You're being a good person. You're not getting those traffic tickets like you did when you were a kid. No longer speeding quite as fast as you used to speed. Okay? And here you are. You are so good. I mean, compared to somebody else who can't brag about those things, look at you. You're really something. You're really something. And so it's like, okay, God, here I am. Check me out. Look at all these wonderful things I'm doing. And God, look at those people that aren't doing what I'm doing. Okay? Look how much better I am than that. Okay, now you understand that this balloon has one thing in it, right? Hot air. Right? That's all that balloon has in it. It has a bunch of hot air. Now, if you think that this hot air is somehow going to impress God, you're going to stand before God one day, and he's going to say, oh my goodness, look at all the things that you did. I mean, Jesus talked in the seventh chapter of Matthew about people that will come before him, and they will stand before him, and they will give a list of things they did. Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We prophesied in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. Look at all these incredible things that we have done in your name. And Jesus' response to them is, it's nothing but hot air. Okay? We never had a relationship. All you did were these things that you could do. Now understand that you're not going to get there on your own. No matter how big or little your balloon is, you're not going to make it on your own. You can't fix your own problems. And the problem that we have between us and God is that all of us have sinned, right? And that's the bottom line problem we're looking at today. Romans, the 5th chapter, the 6th verse says this, for when we were still without strength, in due time, there's that terminology again, in the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So God sent his son into the world to fix our problem. And our problem was that we couldn't fix our problem. We couldn't fix the problem between us and God because the problem was of our own making and we didn't have the tools or the ability necessary to fix it. Look at 1 John, the 4th chapter, the 10th verse. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. Here's one of those really big biblical words, to be the propitiation for our sins. And the word propitiation literally speaks of the payment in full. He fixed what we couldn't fix. What we couldn't do with our hot air, Jesus came and did by laying down his life. Okay? At Christmas, God was saying, enough. Enough? Why? Because the world needs a savior. We were lost. We had lost our sense of direction. We didn't know up from down. We didn't know right from wrong. When Jesus showed up at the Jordan River, John said this. Look at John, the first chapter, the 29th verse. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You have to understand, in the Jewish culture, when somebody talked about a lamb, you understood this. You understood this whole sacrificial system. You couldn't get away from it. It was bloody, okay? You would go to Jerusalem to worship, and there'd be blood. I mean, the blood would flow from where the altar is. It would actually form a stream. And that brook Kidron that Jesus stepped over that night when he was going into the Garden of Gethsemane, literally at that time of the year, at the Passover time, because they slew so many lambs, that was literally a river of blood. So when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," immediately they understood this. They understood sacrifice. So somehow this guy is going to sacrifice himself for us. John, 1 John 4:14 says, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world." He's the only way we could be spared, the only way we could be saved. At Christmas, it was God saying, enough. There's no way for man to attain eternal life, because every one of us has fallen short. It's exactly what Romans 3:23 tells us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And nobody in this church is ever going to look down their nose at anybody else and say, "And you're terrible, and you are rotten, and you are a sinner." Because all of us understand that all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. That there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one of us that by our own hot air can get there. Okay? There's not one of us that can be acceptable in God's sight by our own strength or by our own ability. So, what's the result of the fact that I've sinned? Well, Romans 6:23, three chapters later, tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Listen to what the Apostle John writes in 1 John, the 4th chapter, 9th verse. "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him," that we might have eternal life. Okay? At Christmas, God was saying enough, because God could not bless man the way he wanted to bless him. The words that were spoken to the shepherds in Luke, the 2nd chapter, said this: "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" The message of the angel, first thing he said, don't be afraid. Don't, you know, fear not. Don't be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. And this good news is for everyone. It's good news. Acts 3rd chapter, 26th verse. "To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." God wants to bless you, but he can only bless you when you turn away from your iniquity. He can only bless you if you'll take care of the sin problem that you can't take care of on your own. So understand that Jesus arrived in the fullness of time, at the right time, at the time set by the Father, at that right time, when the time was completed, that right time, this perfect time, God sent his Son. And once again, we find ourselves at that perfect time and celebrating that perfect time, okay? And not just the perfect time for the world, but the perfect time for you, okay? The fullness of time. God has said, enough. You have lived long enough without understanding God's love for you. You have lived in darkness long enough. It's impossible for you to fix yourself. You need a Savior. There's no way for you to attain eternal life by your own efforts. And there's no way for God to bless you like he wants to bless you until now. Remember those words we read in that account of Zacchaeus, where it said, "For the Son of Man has come and to seek that which was lost." The Son of Man has come to seek and to save you. Now, for those of us who are believers, we recognize this whole meaning of Christmas, right? This was God saying enough to my life, and God saying, I want to bless you. I want to save you. I want to forgive you. I want to have a relationship with you. You can't make it happen on your own. I'll do it for you. Okay? And some of you may be sitting here right now, and you've been to church every Christmas for as long as you can remember. But you didn't think about Christmas, Jesus coming, being just for you. God has said, enough. You've been controlled by sin long enough. You've been ignorant of my love long enough. It's time. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you today for your word. And we thank you, God, that there was that time when you said enough. When you watched mankind go their own way, do their own thing long enough, and you said, that's it. That's it. This is the time when I'm sending my son. Enough. I'm sending my son to save them. And Father, as you look at our hearts today, there may be some that are sitting here right now, and you are saying to them, enough. You have lived in your sin long enough. You've been bound to that sin long enough. It is time for you to allow me to set you free. Enough. The fullness of time, the exact time, the right time is right now. And today, if you need to stop running from God, if you need to stop going your own way and doing your own thing, and you need to open your life to him today, and you need to be saved, let me help you with a prayer right where you're sitting today. I just want you to repeat these words after me. I want you to say them out loud, because there is something powerful that takes place when we speak words out loud. The Bible talks about the fact that we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth, and we're saved because of those two things. And right now, you're at that point of believing in your heart. You're at that point of saying, okay, God, I believe in your love for me. I believe you have a plan for me. I believe there's more to life than everything I've known right now. And God, to be truthful, my life has been full of hot air. But I believe in you today. You've done that in your heart. And now we need to do it with our mouth. And so I want you to repeat these words after me. I want you to say them out loud. And we're just going to say these words together. A lot of us prayed a prayer like this a long, long time ago. And it's not going to save us today to pray this prayer. But we'll pray it so that you can pray out loud and not feel strange or awkward about it, okay? So let's say this together. Heavenly Father, I admit that I have sinned. And I ask for your forgiveness. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, the one you sent to die for me. And I confess him as my Lord. And Heavenly Father, I ask you to accept me today and adopt me into your family as your child in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you open your heart to Christ today, you open your life to him, you understand what Christmas is all about. You understand right now why he came. Because God simply said, enough, enough. I'm sending my son. And today God has said to you, enough of living without me. Now you're going to live with me. Let's stand together today. Don and Lois, could I impose on you guys just to make yourselves available for prayer this morning? And if you need prayer before you leave today, just feel free to come by the front. We always have a couple down here that will pray with you and be here for you. And the blessing of the book of Numbers says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And as you go through this real hectic week, because I know that at least the first part of the week is going to be really hectic, okay? Man, just enjoy God's peace. Merry Christmas to you. Have a wonderful time with your families. God bless you for being here today. You're dismissed.